Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I just want to, first of all, say how much I love and appreciate your pastor, Brother David and Karen. If you've got a pastor that loves the Lord, loves his family, preaches the word, and loves you, I would do everything you can to let him know how much you appreciate him and love him on a constant basis. Nobody understands the constant way that a shepherd gives himself out on an ongoing basis. And Brother David's like that, and you ought to rejoice. I understand he's going to have a 15th anniversary in September. I think y'all ought to party like it's 1984. Have cake, have banana pudding, make it a first-class event. I just want to say that thank you to this precious church. You folks have been doing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And what I hear about is people being saved and lives being transformed because of all the ministries. You haven't taken your eye off the ball. When you're doing things like your medical supply ministry, the end goal of that is to introduce people to Christ. I am thrilled that you're having that appreciation banquet for Awana and the Awana workers. That is an intense ministry. When I was pastoring in Morristown 25 years ago, we started Awana ministry, and it's still growing strong. And some of the kids that were discipled in that Awana ministry are now in ministry someplace, and we thank the good Lord for that. And I also want to thank you for your giving. And this, what I'm about to share with you doesn't even cover a fraction of the way you give, but it is specifically some things that I want to thank you for. The way you give through the International Mission Board, any Armstrong offering has been incredible. You've given almost $100,000 through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Easter offering. And then in cooperative program giving through that Missions Mutual Fund, you've given well over $200,000, and you've participated in the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, and every dime and dollar for the Golden Offering stays right here. The Golden Offering is named after W.C. and Mildred Golden, who was, he was in my position about 1900 for 5 or 6 years, and I've got all of his journals. He was a meticulous journalist, writing everything down. He'd been doing this job for just a few months when he wrote in his journal, "I do not know what this new position will hold, but I know it will be a never-ending drudgery." I found that very encouraging, but it was pretty incredible what he and his wife did for missions in Tennessee and beyond. So thank you for giving. You know, I think you have every right to see where your mission dollars go. It was so very, very good to meet someone earlier that working with the Samaritan's Purse, Gail, pastoring at First Morristown and First Sevierville, we produced hundreds and hundreds of those shoeboxes every Christmas. And you to see a tangible evidence of where your giving goes is pretty incredible. I just want to show you a couple of things here. One is, put that picture up with the guys under the tent. If you've got that one. Not that tent, I'm sorry. The one with all the workers. That, I think, might be the first one. You got that with all the yellow vests, all the workers. There we go. You couldn't see the tent, but they were under a big tent. But the those are workers at Blue Oval City. Any of you heard of Blue Oval City? In West Tennessee, Ford Motor Company is building what will be the largest automotive manufacturer in Tennessee, in North America. There is a Volkswagen plant in near Chattanooga. There is a Nissan plant in Smyrna. There's a GM plant in Spring Hill. you can put all three of those automotive manufacturers in the footprint of this Ford facility and have 1,200 acres left over. It is being built in Stanton. Stanton has a population of around 300 to 500 people. In the next 10 years, the population in Stanton and Brownsville is going to grow to 100,000 folks. We've got a goal of planting 40 new churches in the next 10 years in this area, and you are a part of that. Now, these workers, we've got to go over that guy over there named Danny Sinkfield that works in West Tennessee for us, and he's built a relationship with the builders. And they asked Brother Danny, we're coming up on 1 million safe hours. Do you think your folks could have a picnic for us? So Danny called me, and I said, Danny, that sounds like a great idea. Sure, we can help with that. How many people? I don't know, Brother Randy. I'll call you right back. He called back, and he said 1,200. So we deployed a disaster relief feeding unit to Stanton, and they fed hamburgers and hot dogs to all of these workers from all over the country in less than 25 minutes. And we distributed to these 1,200 people about 700 Bibles, and it has been a remarkable deal. The construction company, a month later, sent us a check for $10,000 to help cover the cost of this meal. And the relationships we've built there in the name of Jesus have been pretty incredible. They're going to be building at this plant 500,000 Ford F-150 Lightnings, that is the electric F-150 truck, when the plant becomes operational in 2025. Those electric trucks are going to be built here in Tennessee. Nobody in Tennessee is going to buy them, but they're going to be built here. And if that doesn't work out, within 30 days, they can retrofit this factory into combustible engines. So you're helping do this. And then the next slide is something going on right now at Beach Reach. This is when hundreds of Christian university students in your BCMs, we've got a group there from ETSU, BCM right now. They come from all over the country, and they enter into gospel conversations with people at spring break. How many of you remember being at the beach spring break? No, never mind, don't go there. We don't want to talk about that. But they give taxi rides to people that are too drunk to remember where they're staying. They make pancake breakfast for everybody in the morning. And then they engage in gospel conversations. And hundreds of college students come to know Christ as Savior because of this. Something else you're participating in is the music festival Bonnaroo. One of the largest music festivals in the country, taking place outside of Manchester. And now you can go to that slide on the tent. That's called the Jesus Tent. In the Jesus Tent, and there's several tents put together there, somebody can come in and charge their phone. They can come in and get a free bottle of water. And there's a sign right outside the tent that says, if you want to have a conversation about Jesus, somebody wants to talk to you about Jesus. The line you see there is a line of people waiting to talk to somebody about Christ. Every year we see dozens and dozens of people introduced to Jesus at that music festival in Bonnaroo. And then one last slide I want to show you. We've been for a couple of years now through the Golden Dawn for Tennessee Missions putting brand new ultrasound machines in crisis pregnancy centers across the state. And this is one that was placed this past spring. And those that are getting ultrasound machines from other sources, Tennessee Baptists come along beside them, and we pay for the training or we pay for the maintenance on those machines. And you're having a part of literally saving lives of the unborn, and we thank the Lord for all you've done. So for a church that God has used just in a little bit of your history, just through those four channels, to give almost $250,000, why don't you praise the Lord for that? Amen. But like the guy on the commercial would say, wait, there's more. And this is just over probably less than half of your history. You have seen this many people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Put that last slide up there if you don't mind. 571 people saved, baptized, and set on the road to discipleship. That's been your grandparents, your children, your mom and dad. There have been neighbors and friends that you've had, that you have populated heaven because of your faithful witness. And I am so thankful for that. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the 100th Psalm, if you will. Now, this is normally a passage of Scripture that you may look at and think it's a Thanksgiving passage and for that holiday. But Brother David shared with me that your whole theme this year has been from Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. How should we then live? And I can't think of a better way to encourage you to live a life of thanks living, not just thanksgiving. So would you mind honoring the precious word of God by standing as we look at the 100th Psalm? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastors. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless and honor the reading of your word. I pray you'd open up every heart that we would listen and hear what you want to say to us. And God, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Would you be seated? Do you want to live a life of joy? Do you want to live a life of gladness? Do you want to live a life of praise unto the Lord? Do you want to live a life of peace? Do you want to live a life of abundance? How do you do that? How can you really live satisfied in this life and live a life of peace and live a life where you really have joy every single day, where your life is not filled with drama, your life is not filled with strife, it is not filled with pain? Now, you're going to face those things, but underlying all of it is going to be a joy that cannot be taken from you. How does that happen? Well, civil engineers have a marker that they'll put on the corner of a piece of property, and usually it's a brass marker in the ground, and it's got POB on it, and that POB means point of beginning. It means everything is measured off of that marker. Any kind of measurement is measured off of that marker. And the point of beginning of living a life of joy and peace and purpose is in the presence of God. And the point of beginning and being in the presence of God is prayer. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, and he said that three times, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Don't you think if God says something three times, we ought to pay attention? And so the point of beginning in our walk with him and being in his presence is prayer. You can't be in his presence. You can't live in his presence. You can't have an abundant life without walking in his presence. on a constant basis. And this is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount related to prayer. He said, when you enter into your secret place, close the door. We refer to it as a prayer closet. Now, it may be a literal private place, secret place that you go to. It may be just a place on a regular basis that you camp out at. But what he's referring to is this, figuratively as much as literally. When you go into the in your prayer closet, your prayer room, shut the door. Shut the door on your worries and your cares. Shut the door on your cell phones. Shut the door on the television. Shut the door on everything this world has to offer. A matter of fact, when you go into your prayer closet, he says, shut the door. So you go in and you shut the door, and then you turn around. And when you turn around away from the door, then you are in the presence of God. You are in his presence. You look up and there's his throne. There's Almighty God. Jesus is seated right beside him. You see the third person of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. And you, through Jesus, are in the presence of Almighty God. To think that a nobody like me that has no kind of pedigree, that grew up in a broken home, can come into the presence of God is pretty phenomenal. And not only does he invite us to come into his presence, but to abide in his presence, to live life in his presence, not to back up, not to shy away, but to constantly live in the presence of God. Now, let me just say this, that if the point of beginning of our victory is to live in the presence of God, and the point of beginning is prayer, then the point of beginning in that prayer is thanksgiving. How many times do we rush into the presence of God with our want list, with our Christmas list? How many times do we rush into the presence of God and the only time we come to his presence is when there's an emergency? How many times do we go into the presence of God and we forget to be thankful? Now, the extent of some of our prayer lives is praying before we eat. My pastor back home used to say, hogs will bow their heads before they eat. So it's nothing special to thank God for the food that's set in front of us. That is elementary. But to live in constant prayer and constant thanksgiving, just thanking God for what he's done in your life. The point of beginning of thanksgiving is remembering. Just remembering. And remembering is God's idea. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, in Joshua chapter 4, God had a strange instruction for them. He said, when you come across the river, after everybody's across, then one person from each one of the 12 tribes get a large rock, a boulder, out of the riverbed and bring it to your encampment. And you're going to take those 12 large stones and you're going to make a monument. And when you make that monument there, they ask, why are we doing this? And God instructed Joshua so that when your children's children pass this way, you'll be able to say, this is what these stones mean. They tell the story of when God worked a miracle in your life. One of the greatest things you can do for your children and your grandchildren is talk about King Jesus. Talk about the stories in your life where God has worked when nobody else could work. But we too soon quickly forget those. In Psalms 145, it says, one generation declares your mighty works to another. In Psalms 103:2, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We are a very forgetful people. It's natural to forget. There was an old retired couple down in Florida, and they had some friends from Michigan visiting them, and the two men were walking down a boardwalk, and their two wives were walking behind them. They were all talking, and the man visiting from Michigan asked his buddy, "Have you eaten any good restaurants around here lately?" He said, "Yeah, we ate at one just last night, and I don't remember the name of it. What is that flower that smells so good and it has thorns on the stem?" He said, "You're talking about a rose?" "Yeah, that's it, Rose. Hey, Rose, where did we eat at last night?" I mean, we can forget pretty easily. Let me ask you a question. What if God took away from you today everything you did not thank Him for yesterday? It would do us well to have a notebook that we keep our prayer list in, and we have a list in that notebook of things we're thankful for, and we add to that on a constant basis. It is not hard to develop a victorious prayer life if you can have in front of you the things you're praying for on a constant basis. Thanksgiving in the life of a believer is transformational. We're living in a world that is hypercritical, super cynical, mean-spirited, cancel culture. And yet, if you as a believer are thankful and you're salt and you're light and you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you are the answer to this world. You see, we should be praising the Lord constantly. As His believers, as His church, there should be such a marked difference in our lives that people look at us and say, "Where did they get that joy? Where did they get that thankfulness? Where did they get that attitude that is so different from what I'm finding in the world?" You as a believer cannot absorb the character of this culture, but you must put on the character of Christ. It is the character and countenance of Christ that we must radiate, but the problem is we're too indifferent, we're too fleshly, or we're too busy to remember. There's some things we ought to remember. You ought to remember your marriage vows. You ought to remember the covenant you made between you and your husband, or you and your wife and the Lord. Don't get unhitched or unanchored for those vows that were holy and solemn. Don't forget that your greatest responsibility is to the next generation. I believe this church believes that. That's why you're having this Awana Appreciation Lunch. I believe that when you have a children's story and you pour into them a nugget of truth, and then you have a time of Sunday school or worship where you're pouring into them in a manner that they get and they understand, it means so much. God delivered me from preaching to impress people about 45 years ago. One of the highest compliments I ever got was when I was pastoring at First Baptist Sevierville. One of the teachers told me that the preschoolers, she had asked them this question: "Who loves you and why do they love you?" And this little girl raised her hand and said, "Pastor Randy loves me." The teacher said, "How do you know Pastor Randy loves you?" And the little girl said, "Because when I go into big church, he doesn't use any big words, and I understand him." A four-year-old. But in a minute, a little boy raised his hand. Teacher called on the little boy, and the little boy said, "Maybe Pastor Randy doesn't know any big words." Something true about that. We forget our greatest responsibilities to this next generation. We forget the lordship of Christ. We tend to move on from total surrender to an attempt to manipulate everything related to God. You see, the victorious Christian life is one where He's recognized from every perspective as Lord of our lives. He's Lord of your family life. He's Lord of your social life. He's Lord of what you see and do on social media. He's Lord of your friends. He's Lord of your relationships. He's Lord of your church. This is not your church. It's His church. It's His bride. And He gets really jealous of His bride. Let Him handle His bride. And fellas, you worry about handling your bride. We forget the sovereignty of God. God can do as He pleases. This passage of Scripture says we are not our own. We belong to Him. That He is He's our shepherd. We're just in His flock. We forget the sovereignty of God. I have a friend of mine down in Cleveland, Tennessee, that once was pastor of one of the largest churches in Georgia. And in his 40s, he was diagnosed with throat cancer. Can you imagine a preacher, a singer being diagnosed with throat cancer? And a lot of damage was done in the surgeries and the radiation. But his boys testify, both of whom are in ministry now, that when his daddy was diagnosed with cancer, he gathered the family around and he made this statement to them. This cancer, before it got to me, had to come through the hands of God. Live under His lordship, realizing He's sovereign, and don't forget about it. Psalms 100 is a Thanksgiving lesson on living life in the presence of God and victory above circumstances and not under them. Notice the words of the 100th Psalm. Make, serve, come, enter, be thankful. Those are things you decide to do. They're not done to you. They're not done for you. You decide to serve the Lord with gladness. You decide to come into His presence with thanksgiving. You decide to make a joyful noise. These are things you decide to do. Are you going to live under His lordship? Are you going to live trusting His sovereignty? The Scripture says, know that the Lord, He is God. He's the one that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You come before His presence with singing. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. As Paul would remind Timothy, let me remind you of a couple of things here. Remember the truth and the reliability of the Word of God. Do not judge this world according to this world. Do not judge this Word according to the culture of this world. You look at the culture and you look at the world through the lens of the Word of God. Judge everything that this world says is right on the basis of what God says is right. We don't have the right to take the Word of God and change it to fit the political mores of the day. We don't have the right to take the Word of God and somehow make the Word of God fit what other people are saying is right or wrong. Trust the reliability of the Word of God. Remember the adequacy of Jesus and Jesus alone. I met a young man last weekend that had lost everything. I mean, his life was like Job. He lost his family, lost his job. His health was broken. And he made this statement to me, all I have left is Jesus. And I looked at him and said, and Jesus is enough, isn't he? He said, yes, sir. Someone else said, you don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all that you have. Remember that this is not our home. This isn't it. I saw that sign one day and it blessed my heart. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself. This is not our home. When Brother David talked to the children about that real place called hell, you will step out in eternity. You say, well, I don't believe that. You may not believe that you'll kill your fool self by jumping off this building. You may not believe that you will die if you do certain things, but I can promise you there's certain things that will kill you. There is a hell. There is a heaven, no matter what you believe, and this is not our home. Remember to number your days. The Scripture says, help us to number our days that we may have a heart full of wisdom. That means you're only going to live so many days. And if you want a sobering exercise, multiply the years you've lived times 365. And then multiply 75 times 365. The difference is the days that you have lived and the average lifespan. You're right. Some of you are living in overtime. Teach us a number of days that we may have a heart full of wisdom. Remember that this is not it. If you were to come to my office in Franklin, outside my office, I don't keep this stuff in my office because I don't want to look at it. But there'll be plaques from the four churches I've pastored that were sweet plaques. There's a couple of diplomas and my license and my ordination and some other trophies that we guys like to accumulate. And there's a lifetime on that wall. You know what's going to happen to all that stuff? One day my kids are going to take it to Goodwill. All the things that I just think so much of really are worth wood, hay, and stubble. But one day the King of Kings will give a crown of righteousness that nothing can take away. No moth will corrupt, it will not tarnish. And the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Listen, remember. Remember your sin forgiven. Remember of salvation by grace through faith alone. Remember all the power you'll ever need to live this life has been given to you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember the call of God on your life to serve Him. Remember that your reward is not yet, but be thankful to what is to come one day. Do you know that God inhabits the praise of His people? Brother David, what I enjoyed in 34 years of pastoring was sometimes on Sunday nights, we would just have a time, we'd have microphones set up around the auditorium, and we'd ask people to come and just share something they're thankful for. Now, it's always dangerous to have open mic night at a Baptist meeting. You're never really going to know what you're going to get. But there were times that people would start praising the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God would fall down on that place and we would have incredible worship because the Scripture says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And when you're living a life of thanksgiving, He comes and He blesses. Now, how do you get in the presence of God? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. He's it. The way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ, and He's the only way. And if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, invite Him to come in. The stained glass you have in the front of this building is of a famous painting, Christ, the Light of the World, by William Holman Hunt. And if you've paid attention to that stained glass window, Jesus is holding a lantern in His hand and He's knocking on a door of a little cottage, wanting to come in. When Holman Hunt revealed that painting, one of his critics said, "Holman Hunt, everything about it's beautiful, the depth, the colors, the symmetry, everything is perfect, but you've made one fatal flaw." And Hunt said, "What is the fatal flaw?" And he said, "There's no latch on the door. There's no doorknob, there's no latch." And Holman Hunt said, "That was not a mistake. The door of the human heart can only be opened from the inside. You're the only one that can come into the presence of God through the person of Jesus Christ." Would you invite Him to do that today? Would you just say, "God, I've never asked You into my heart, and Jesus, I want You to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior." Or if you are saved, but you've allowed this world to open the door of your prayer closet and you are so concerned about everything else going on except the Father, Maybe you just need to come around and get around this altar and say, God, I want to live in your presence. God, forgive me for walking away from you. God, today I come home. Come give Brother David your hand in a moment and say, Brother David, this is a decision I'm making for Christ. Perhaps there's some young people here that are feeling called to ministry. Maybe you're feeling called to pastor or serve the church in some other capacity as a vocation. Maybe God's calling you into missions. I thank the Lord for the young lady that was signing the songs today. The largest unreached people group in the planet are those that are deaf. Maybe God's calling you to come alongside and help. The altar's the place of surrender. You come and do that. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer right now, please. Heavenly Father, God, this hymn of opportunity that we may be singing in just a moment, God, I pray that we respond not to the song or to a messenger, but to what the Holy Spirit has said to our hearts today. God, I pray we'd be responsive and obedient to what you want us to do in this very moment. God, will give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing.